Well, welcome back. It's been a long time. This is a big day, maybe even bigger than it seems in the life of Church of the Savior. There's a lot that's new that we can celebrate today and a lot we can look forward to. For those of you who haven't been in the building in the last several months, you'll notice we have a new floor. And we're grateful to God for his provision and for the work of the people who have installed it. It's yet another step in the continuing work that we are doing as a leadership team and as a church to make sure that this space remains a safe place for people to encounter Jesus for the generations to come, not just in our own time. And tomorrow, God willing, roofers are going to arrive, and by the end of the week, there should be a new roof over our heads that will protect this space for the next generation. It's perhaps not even saying too much to say that another new thing is that today we begin to replant Church of the Savior. It's not new, of course, for most of us at least, who are here, to be here. But live streaming is something that's totally new to us as a body, and it allows us to connect with folks who can't be here, and with friends who are from away. But it also offers yet another way that Church of the Savior can live out our purpose statement, that beginning in Ambridge, we will reach the world with the message of Jesus Christ. Nor is live streaming the exclusive new thing that God is going to do at Church of the Savior in this season. Now, I confess to you, that's all I've heard as I've prayed. I haven't heard what. The details are rather short at this point. But it is clear to me. Live streaming is sort of the first fruits that God is doing a new thing among us. And I pray that we will also keep our eyes and ears open to what that might be and to what he might be saying as we come before him in prayer, as we spend time in the Word. So here we are, back in the building. And even as we are seeing really major victories, things that we've prayed for and worked for years, on preserving this place as an asset for ministry, we are being reminded yet again that the real purpose of this building does not have to do with the building. It is to support and sustain the missional discipleship of the body that is called Church of the Savior. The proclamation and demonstration of the kingdom of God in this particular place, of this particular community, so that together we may live in loving obedience to Jesus and his commands. That purpose and direction, that is discipleship for mission, is what undergirds Jesus' message in this morning's gospel lesson. Now, the last 3 weeks, for those that have been with us as we've been using the GoToMeeting platform, we've heard Jesus' instruction to the 12 apostles as they were preparing for their short-term mission trip, which turned into a life mission trip. This morning, we hear Jesus' reflection evidently after that first experience, after they had gone into towns and villages proclaiming the kingdom, healing, delivering, raising the dead, seeing people respond, people of peace respond to the gospel, and seeing the rejection or just the indifference of the many. And in verses 25 through 27 of our reading this morning, Jesus thanks God for the mission, for the proclamation of the kingdom of God, demonstrated by healing, deliverance, raising from the dead. And Jesus also thanks God that he, Jesus, is the one to whom God has committed that mission as the means by which people may come to know God and be restored to fellowship with him. So the bottom line of that phrase or verse is that discipleship for mission begins and ends with Jesus. It's discipleship to Jesus for the mission of the kingdom of God that Jesus brings and proclaims. That's why we gathered online exclusively when we could not be in this building. That's why we're gathering here today, those of us who are able to. That's why we are live streaming. And it's why we look forward with anticipation to the even more that God wants to do with Church of the Savior in this season. At the same time, this community has another need today, one of at least equal importance, and right now even higher immediate priority. That need is much less exotic. It tends to get us perhaps less excited. It's certainly something we probably desire less, but it's a need that we must acknowledge and address. We must go through before we can take any next steps in our mission, because it's of vital importance to the entire work, foundational. And that need, friends, is our need as a people and as individuals to lament. That is, to grieve what has been lost. You know, I still remember 10 years ago, or 11 now, when we left the basement and we came up here to worship. Many of us were here then. And some of you know Chad Brinkley, who is the project manager for, was the project manager for that time of renovation in the top floor, and he's been helping us again now. He's a really, really good man. I've come to love Chad. And we were walking through the basement doing kind of a punch list thing for all of the stuff in the building that had been done at the end, and he said, you know, you guys are going to need to grieve not being here anymore. And I thought, that's crazy. We don't want to be here. The whole reason that we did the renovation on the top floor was so we wouldn't have to be in the basement. And then I thought, no, he's right. It's a change. Change, friends, involves loss. Even if the thing we lose is something we're glad to let go of, it's still loss. And loss involves grief. And so, as we return to the sanctuary today, there's loss. There are friends who, for legitimate reason, cannot be with us because of health concerns. There are friends we reconnected with when we were on GoToMeeting who are not able to connect with us in exactly the same way now that we're live streaming. That's a loss. There are spaces between our seats. I feel like I'm kind of, well, where are all the chairs that are supposed to be here? They're not here. That's a loss. We don't want to stay in that place of loss, but we do have to acknowledge it before we're going to be able to go to the next thing that God has for us. And you can see today in the Psalms, really, it's one psalm, Psalm 42 and 43. The psalmist is going through that process of lament, and it comes in waves. That's why three times he has to say, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? And remind himself, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. So in the initial third, the first half of Psalm 42, he's looking back on what he's lost. He's not able to go to the temple. That's a familiar feeling for us recently. He's separated from it, probably because he's been taken into exile along with his people, or perhaps because he's simply in the northern kingdom whose king before the time of exile forbade the people to go to Jerusalem to worship because he didn't want them falling back under the influence of the kings of Israel, of Judah. And he's grieving. His soul is cast down. And he asks rhetorically, well, why? Hope in God. But then he goes on, but my soul is cast down within me. And we see him grieving into the present. He still can't get to the temple. Now people are oppressing him and taunting him. and saying, yeah, what kind of God do you worship? He won't even let you worship together. Where is he? Yet again, he asks the rhetorical question, why are you cast down within me? Why are you in turmoil? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. And then the third time, he moves into Psalm 43, vindicate me, O God, and defend me against an ungodly people. He cries out now and looks forward to his deliverance. And he says, then I will go to the altar of God, to the God of my joy and gladness. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Now he looks forward to his deliverance, as it seems that his faith affirmation, he's been saying it over and over again, say it long enough, it takes. It seems to have sunk into his heart by the time the psalm comes to an end. But it's a process, and he doesn't get there immediately. In this season, friends, all of us have something to lament. I have a neighbor who has lost 6 loved ones to COVID, older people in care facilities in another state before proper safeguards were instituted. Corporately, our nation is hurting from the pandemic, from the fact that the so-called white majority can't seem to treat people of color right. In the process, all of us have lost a sense of freedom. And the fear is maybe we've lost it for good. To bring it back to the local level, even for us in returning to our worship space, there's loss. As I said, people can't be here. There are these gaps, and we feel it. Then there's the intangible but very real anxiety that comes from uncertainty. What's going to happen? Will the pandemic get worse? Will we get shut down yet again? What if I get sick? What if I had to go to the hospital? What if there was no one to take care of me? And if we rationalize and say, well, you know, really, I haven't lost very much. There are a lot of other people who have had to go through much worse. That may be true, but our losses are still our losses. We may even need to lament the circumstance that we find ourselves so deeply troubled, as we do, by losses that truly aren't all that significant in the cosmic sense of things. None of that changes the reality that our losses are still our losses. And we don't want to stay there. Necessary to lament, and it's wrong to stay there. Even the psalmists, who had a lot to lament, if you read through the Psalms, it seems like almost every day there was something else going on. They almost never stay there. Nor is staying in a place of lament helpful to our task of missional discipleship to Jesus, the bearer and proclaimer of God's coming kingdom. Staying there is not healthful for our souls, and it's not helpful to our discipleship. But again, like the psalmist, we do need to go there. Being patient with ourselves, realizing that walking through the process and then on out of lament is going to take time, and it will sometimes involve 3 steps forward and 2 back. I don't know, maybe sometimes it'll involve 2 steps forward and 3 back. In that process, however, we have tremendous encouragement from Jesus himself in our gospel reading today. These familiar words from the end of the 11th chapter of Matthew. In whatever we may find difficult about this task of being on mission with Jesus, he calls us, just like his first 12, to come to him, to him. He is the safe place to bring our lament and to see it transformed, just like the psalm, into praise. into praise of God's goodness, of his keeping power, of his mercy. Even if in our own eyes our own lament is not very exalted or worthwhile, Jesus' word to us today, as we stand on the verge of a new venture and mission, even of replanting Church of the Savior, begins with this invitation: come to me, all who travail, that is, work exceedingly painfully hard, and are oppressed with heavy burdens. Take my yoke upon you and follow after me. Be my disciple. That's what it says in the original language. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest, by the way, that the law and commandments of men could not give you. For Jesus says, my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light in weight. I want to ask us to do something. It's going to be a little tough, I think, for our friends online, but bear with us, please. I want us to take a couple of minutes and have an opportunity for those of us, whether we want to share it or just in the silence of our own hearts, to express and acknowledge our lament to Jesus. Not as a show and a display, not so that we can one-up one another with how bad our life is, but so that Jesus can take that burden, take it off of us, so that we're able to go on with his mission. Let's take just a few minutes, begin today or continue if you've been walking in this already, that process of bringing the lament to Jesus, leaving it with him. It's a process. Maybe we start leaving it with him today. Maybe we continue leaving it with him today, but leaving it with him so that we can get on with walking in obedience to the mission he has for us, to the fruit of the kingdom that he has for us. Let's just take a couple of minutes in silence. If you want to pray out loud, we're not shy. If you want to simply listen to the Lord, give to him the things that are the Spirit of God stirring up in your own hearts, that's fine. Father, I thank you that your word exhorts us in the Psalms. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So I pray that as we continue in this walk of releasing to you the issues and the concerns of our lament, that you will be faithful, Lord, that you will give encouragement and new direction and new life for the mission of your kingdom. and for the blessing of your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.